We are continuing our ongoing series in the book of Romans. So if you could please open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. We'll be starting in verse 15. The text is Romans 6, 15 to 23. Let's ask for the Lord's help as we look at his word together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's true, and I pray that you'd speak to us right now through your word. Give us open hearts to hear from you. I pray for your help, and we do just want to rely on you right now. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing to you. Give us your grace to believe, to obey your word, to live in the light of your word, to respond well to you. Thanks that these are your words. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. When you become a Christian, when you become a follower of Jesus, you are put in a right relationship with God, but you still have an opportunity to sin. Can I get a witness there? You still have some chances to commit some sins. Do you want to give in? Do you want to resist? Sometimes we want to resist. Sometimes maybe not so much. The struggle is real, right? How can we face these temptations to sin and overcome the temptations? In the section that we looked at last week in Romans 6, 1 to 14, the Apostle Paul answers an objection to his gospel, or a question about his gospel that he's proclaiming to his readers. The question is, if we are justified, if justification comes by grace instead of being by a good person, which is what every other philosophy and religion of the world says, every other philosophy and religion of the world says, you're justified by your performance. And if that's not the case, if we're justified by God's grace, why not just sin some more and get some more grace? Okay, and Paul says, you know, the question is, should we sin more so that grace might increase, grace might abound? And Paul says, absolutely not. Sin is not consistent with being a follower of Jesus. And the argument that he makes is, it's because of our union with Christ, because we are in Christ. Jesus died to sin, and we are in him, so we have died to sin in him. Sin no longer controls us. He's alive to God. We're alive to God. So that's how it's not consistent to live in sin anymore if we're a follower of Jesus. And now in this next section, he's going to answer the same question. It's essentially the same question, but he's going to come at it from a different angle. So let me read the question and his answer. Follow his train of thought here. Romans 6, verses 15 to 23. What then? Should we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Absolutely not. Don't you know that if you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of that one you obey, either of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But thank God that although you used to be slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching to which you were handed over. And having been set free from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness. I am using a human analogy because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you offered the parts of yourselves as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater lawlessness, so now offer them as slaves to righteousness, which results in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free with regard to righteousness. So what fruit was produced then from the things you are now ashamed of? The outcome of those things is death. But now, since you have been set free from sin and have become enslaved to God, you have your fruit, which results in sanctification, and the outcome is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is God's word. So now Paul is addressing essentially the same question from a different angle. Here the question is, you see in verse 15, since we're under grace, since we're not under the law, we might as well sin, right? We're not under the law. We don't have these rules that we have to follow to be justified. So we might as well sin. We might as well do what we want. The issue is freedom. I want to quote Braveheart right here. Freedom, freedom, you know. Okay, you young people, I'm sorry. This was an old movie. Have you seen it, you young kids? No? Mel Gibson, he wears a kilt. He fights with a sword or something and yells freedom real loud. It's a Scottish movie, but it's a very American movie. The issue is freedom. The old system was a system of performance, okay, of keeping the law, of following the rules, of offering sacrifices under the law, right? And now, so the question is, we're not under that system anymore. We're not under the law. So we're free. We're free to live like we want, free to follow our hearts, free to let our hearts be our guide. So if our heart wants to sin a little bit, why not sin a little bit? No big deal, right? Do you know anybody that thinks like that? Do you ever think like that? My heart is my guide. My heart wants to sin a little, no big deal, okay? Shouldn't I just sin? I'm not under the law anymore. Paul's answer to that question is, absolutely not. We can't do that anymore. And he uses a bit of a different argument. He comes at it from a different angle. Last time he talked about union with Christ. Now he's going to talk about slavery. Before he talked about how we were dead to sin and alive to God. Now he's talking about how we have a new master. We have a new owner. Okay? So look at verse 16. Should we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Don't you know that if you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of that one you obey, either of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? So there are two slave masters. Either you obey one master or you obey the other master. And if you're a Roman slave, if you're a slave in the Roman time, in Roman times, you could be a free person and offer yourself to a master to be a slave. Sometimes you're like really poor, and you're like, I need some food and shelter, and that was a way to get it. You would offer yourself as a slave to a master to get food and shelter. This is the harsh reality of the Roman world. Or maybe you had a debt that you had to pay off, and if you didn't pay off the debt, you would be arrested. So you would offer yourself as a slave in order to earn money to pay off that debt. You surrendered your freedom to a master, okay? And Paul says that coming to Christ, he's describing coming to Christ in terms of slavery. Before, you were a slave to sin. You served the master sin, and that led to death. But now you become a slave. And you're a slave to God, but he puts it in a different term. He describes it a little differently. He's like, you are a slave to obedience, okay? And obedience leads to righteousness, to justification, okay? I've told you this before, but growing up in Arkansas, I like to listen to the country radio station. I had this, it wasn't my car, it was my dad's car. It was a Dodge Colt, 1982 Dodge Colt, and there was no FM in the radio. It was just AM. So I could get two stations. I could get the Mexican station and the country station, and I loved both of them. And And on the country station, I love the rodeo songs. There's something glamorous about the rodeo songs, right? George Strait, you know, like about the cowboys that are riding in the rodeo, and he's like, one of the songs is, "I can make Amarillo by morning," right? You remember that one? And he's like, "I've left my wife and my girlfriend somewhere along the way, but if I keep on driving, I can make it to Amarillo by morning and ride in the rodeo. I'm going to make 8 seconds on that Bunkin' Bronco or Bunkin' Bull or whatever it is," you know. There was another one, is like, he's like, and it's sort of the same idea. It's like George Strait knew it when he hit it with one of these songs. It's the same idea. It's like, "I can still make Cheyenne." So this time he's going all the way to Wyoming. And the idea of this song is, the guy's wife or girlfriend is like, "Don't bother coming home, because you never stay. You always leave. I've got somebody now who's not a rodeo cowboy with me, so you don't bother coming home." And the cowboy says to her, "Well, I'll miss some things about you, but if I hurry, I can still make Cheyenne." You know, I can still make the rodeo. And there's something kind of glamorous about that freedom, right? On the other hand, is it really freedom? I mean, there's a certain kind of freedom to make the rodeo, but you surrender your family to do that, you know? You have one kind of freedom, but you give up another, the freedom of having a happy family in order to make the rodeo. Let's say you want to get free from God. Okay? You want to be free from religion. You want to be free from having to do what God says, from Him telling you what to do, from following a bunch of rules. You want to follow your heart. You want to let your heart be your guide. You want to live for yourself. So what do you want to do? You know? Are you free now? Paul says, "No, you're not free now. You're serving a different master. You're trying to be free from God, but you're serving a different master, and you're still confined. You're still a slave, and that master is sin. You think you're serving yourself. You're thinking you're doing what you're wanting to do, but you're really serving the old nature, the corrupt nature, the sinful nature. You're a slave to that. And when you serve that master, that road leads you to a certain place. It's not Cheyenne. That road leads you to death," Paul says. When you serve that master, you're on that road of slavery, serving yourself. It leads to death, a spiritual death, a separation from God, which is a kind of freedom. You're free from God, but it's not free, is it? You're not really free, are you? Okay? On the other hand, if you want to be free from sin, you have to serve a new master. I want to be free from sin, from that slave master that only pays me death. Well, now I'm going to be free from sin, I have to serve a new master. And your new master is God, okay? And the way Paul puts it is, you obey obedience, okay? But surrendering that freedom to serve God, I give up that freedom to serve God, it leads to righteousness. And that's a different kind of freedom. Okay? So the irony is, you're never free. It's just, which freedom do you choose? Which adventure do you choose? Do you choose the freedom that is the slavery of sin that leads to death? Or do you choose the slavery to God, which is really freedom, which leads to righteousness? What do you want? And Paul says, look in verse 17 now, when you become a Christian, when you're justified, you become a follower of Jesus, it's like being a slave that you're sold from one master to another master. Before, your master was sin, but you've been set free from that master, and your ownership is transferred to your new master, to God. And so he says, now offer yourself to that new master, okay? And when you offer yourself as a slave, as a servant to God, What that means is you're following a pattern of teaching, he says. Do you see that in verse 17? You were entrusted to a pattern of teaching, okay? So you've given yourself over to following a certain pattern of teaching. And that includes the basic gospel message of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. I'm entrusting myself to him, to that message of what he's done for me. But it also includes teaching, a pattern of teaching about how Christians should live now, okay? And it's based on what Jesus taught. It's based on Jesus' life himself, the pattern of his life and the pattern of his teaching. And so I'm not going to be a slave to sin anymore. Instead, I'm going to live following the pattern of Jesus, the pattern of Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection, you know. Everything that he taught, all the ways that he's an example for us. What did Jesus teach us? He says, be holy as God is holy. So I'm going to follow that pattern. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Don't just love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus even said, love your enemies. That's a hard one, isn't it? But now that I'm not going to serve the master sin anymore, I'm going to serve God. That means I'm going to follow the pattern of Jesus' teaching. I'm going to love my enemies. Jesus says, lay down your life for your friends. Greater love is nobody than this. And then the man lays down his life for his friends. Jesus did it, and now he's saying that you do it. You lay down your life for your friends. You follow that pattern. So we're surrendering ourselves to a new master, and we're going to follow that pattern of teaching. And Paul says, he says, you see in verse 19, he's like, I'm using a human analogy here because your flesh is weak, because you're tempted by sin and you're struggling with this. I'm going to use a human analogy. And it's sort of like he's almost apologizing or he's saying, this analogy isn't perfect. I mean, becoming a follower of Christ, it's a slavery, but it's a human analogy. It's not quite like the slavery that we are aware of in the ancient Roman world or you know, the slavery that was in America. It's a different kind of slavery because in typical slavery, you serve that master because you have to. Because otherwise the master will beat you. Otherwise you're in chains. You know, you serve because you have to. But when we serve God, we come to him and obey that pattern of teaching. He says, from the heart, because we want to. Somehow God changes our hearts so that we obey willingly. We want to obey our new master. It's like we're free to obey that new master. We don't just have to. It's not burdensome. It's not a heavy burden. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. So, you know, obeying sin leading to death, I mean, that kind of freedom, that's a heavy burden. But when you obey God, that's a light burden. It's an easy yoke that you put on your neck following Jesus. It's easy. It's like you're living the life that you were meant to live. You're following the pattern of Jesus. And I mean, who was more of a person than Jesus? Who lived more of a full, rich human life than Jesus? And now we're following his pattern. We're living the way that God designed us to live. And there's freedom in that. There's joy in that. There's happiness, you know, to follow Jesus that way. If you want to be really free, you have to be a slave. If you want to save your life, you have to lose it, Jesus says. If you want to have a nice new truck, if you want to have the freedom to drive where you want to drive and to haul the stuff you want to haul, you have to surrender your freedom to a job and show up every day and earn your money and make your payments, you know? If you want the freedom to hit a curveball, You've got to surrender your freedom to the batting cage, you know? If you want freedom to play Beethoven on the piano, this is a freedom I wish I had. I wish I were free to play Beethoven on the piano. I'm not that free. If you want to be free to play Beethoven on the piano, you chain yourself to the piano for hours. You know, you surrender your freedom. If you want to be free from sin, you submit yourself to a new Lord. You submit yourself to God, to the Lord Jesus, you to follow him. But unlike those other illustrations that I'm showing you a human analogy because of the weakness of my flesh. Okay, unlike those other illustrations, God is the one that sets us free. You know, I don't set myself free. God sets me free. Jesus paid my debt. The Holy Spirit gives me the power to obey. The Holy Spirit changes my heart so that I want to obey. He changes your heart. You want to obey. Jesus' yoke is easy. His burden's light. And that's real freedom. Have you found freedom by following Jesus? Are you really free? Or do you still think that you can have freedom apart from God? Following your own way, deciding what is right and wrong for yourself. If that's what you think, you're not really free. You're still a slave. But there's real freedom in God. So what we've seen so far is we've seen a way of picturing the spiritual life. Once we're slaves to a master, that master was sin, but we've been set free from that master so we can serve a new master. That master is God, and that involves submitting to a pattern of teaching, but it's from the heart. It's willingly to the pattern which Jesus showed us. And next, what we're going to see is the outcome of serving those two different masters. When we were serving sin, Paul says, if you look in verse 20, 21, okay, the outcome of serving that master is shame. You did things that you were ashamed of. Anybody ever felt some shame? Ever look back on what you did in your life and you're like, ugh. I do that all the time. Like sometimes I just remember something from when I was like 20. And I'm like, why did I do that? And I feel shame still. I mean, sometimes it's like from this morning, you know. But like you ever like look back and you feel shame? Okay. The outcome of serving sin is you're ashamed of what you did, okay? And even further, serving sin, that leads to death, spiritual death, to separation from God. On the other hand, when we serve God, the outcome is sanctification. It's being made holy. It's being set apart for God. God's Spirit works in us and makes us more like His Son and sets us apart from Him, for Him. In the end of that path, he says, the end of the path of the slavery of serving God, get this, eternal life. Isn't that glorious? Life forever and ever. A full life, a rich life, a life with God in heaven forever and ever. And it even starts right now. You got a taste of it even now. Your eternal life has started now with God. This is the road that you're on. When you serve the old master, sin, it says, verse 23, it paid you wages, like an inscripted Roman soldier received, you know, a little bit of a salary. Or a slave, a Roman slave, would receive a little bit of pocket money, you know, so he could go out and buy his toothpaste or whatever he needed to buy. Come on, it's a little joke. Come on. Roman slave, toothpaste. They didn't have teeth, okay? All right. You receive wages, okay? The wages that sin pays is death. It paid you what you deserved, what you earned. It paid you death, separation from God. How's that for freedom? But when you belong to God, you don't get paid wages. Instead, you receive a gift. The free gift of God is eternal life. You get something better than what you deserve. You receive mercy and grace. You receive the gift of eternal life, which Jesus earned for you, and he gives that to you for free when you trust in him. So do you see that's who you are? if you are a believer in Jesus, this is the path that you're on. You're on the road that leads to eternal life. You're on the road of holiness. You belong to a new master. You belong to God. This slavery is real freedom. It's joy and life and peace. This is how to live the life God wants you to live. This is the resource that we need to face the temptation that we face, and we're going to face it. Temptation to sin. This is the resource that we need to face that temptation and to overcome. When temptation comes, and you have different temptations, different ones of us struggle with different things. We talked about some of these last week. You have a temptation to watch pornography, temptation to be dishonest at your work, temptation to lash out in anger at a family member, temptation to slander somebody, to talk about somebody that, you know, to tell a lie about them. When you face that temptation, here's what you need to remember. I don't serve sin anymore. Sin isn't my master anymore. I serve a new master. My master is God. I'm on the road to eternal life. And so I'm going to live like who I am. I'm going to present my body to God as a living sacrifice. You see, he says, this is who you are. But then in verse 19, he says, just as you offered the parts of yourself as slaves to impurity, to greater and greater lawlessness. And that was the pattern of the sin. You get into it, and then it sort of snowballs, and there's more and more junk and problems. Now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness. Offer your body as a slave to righteousness. You are a slave to righteousness. Now present your body as a slave to righteousness. You do belong to God. Now give him your body to serve him with. You know? So this is the path we're on. So when we face that temptation, let's present ourselves, our hands, our feet, our mouth, our hearts. Let's present ourselves to God as instruments of righteousness, as weapons of righteousness, as a living sacrifice for him. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this word, and I pray that you'd help us right now. I pray that you would give us strength to obey you, and we offer you our hearts right now, even this morning, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we sing the next song.